Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, He said that he will draw all men unto him. It's time that men and women, boys and girls, will be drawn closer and closer to Christ. For we know neither the day or the hour that he's coming. For the word says, coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And because we will always look up his name, he is great, he is mighty, he is the Jehovah Jireh, he is the Alpha and Omega, he is the beginning and the end. He is the first, he is the last, he is the true and the living God. I would like to say to you today, you still have time to go and to call that neighbor or to invite that friend that you the meaning to tell about the breakthrough broadcast and let them know that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. And whatever their needs are today, you can assure them that God is able to supply that need. For the word of God says he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. But there is nothing too hard for you to do. There's nothing too hard for God to do in any situation. I don't care what it may be. I don't care what the enemy has said. I just want you to know that you can get your deliverance. You can be made free as you listen to the breakthrough broadcast on today, because we're here to make a difference. We're here to lift up that great and mighty name of Jesus. There's not a name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved, but by the name of Jesus. At this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, we thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for every listener that's on this on the air today. Lord, whatever the need may be, God, Father God, you know the need. God, you know the very hairs upon their heart, upon their head, and the heartbeat, Father God. Father God, we ask thee even now, Lord God, God, to give them that blessed assurance. God, move on their behalf. Fight every battle. Know that the battle does not belong to them, but the battle belongs to you. And you are well able, you are well able to fight every battle. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome our panelists on Breakthrough Broadcast today. And first of all, we would like to welcome Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Hoover, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks, Pastor Andre Spencer, and Pastor Carlos Lampion. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome each of our panelists to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Our topic for today will be fraud and flight, Jacob. And our study text will come from Genesis, the 25th chapter, 19 through the 31st verse, and the 27th verse through the 28th chapter and the 22nd verse. Our central truth today would be God's will is that we live honestly trusting him. The key verse for today is, matter of fact, it's taken from Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and that 17th verse. First, we will read it from the KJV. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And the NIV version says, food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouth full of gravel. So get ready, radio audience, as we're going to go immediately into our discussion today, because we know that God is getting ready to move and to do great and mighty things. Our first subtopic today 20th chapter through the 28th. And our first panelist, which is Pastor Andre Spencer, will be coming, and he's going to be sharing with us what God has given him to bless you today. We would like to just take this opportunity to bless God and to thank God and welcome Pastor Andre Spencer to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Glory be to God, first and foremost. I give honor unto him. I give God glory for you, Dr. McCoy, for you fulfilling what he has placed in you and to each one of the panelists and to everyone listening, hallelujah, to the Spirit of the Lord. This is coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, two destinies foretold, from the 20th verse to the 23rd verse. And the Lord gave me a subtopic, the conflict within. And it says here, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Saririan, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Saririan. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when I was reading this and meditating upon this, the Lord was giving me some insight here about what was actually taking place inside of Rebekah, and it was a conflict taking place in her womb. And it says that Rebekah was experiencing some strong pains in her body, which was causing some conflict in her mind. Amen. Because of the pain that she was feeling. One translation says, when she said, if so, why am I thus? It says that if it's going to be this way, why keep on living? She was experiencing a lot of pain. And a lot of times when, hallelujah, God is birthing something from inside of us, we're experiencing some pain because of circumstances and situations that we face with people that we have to cut loose from. And sometimes it's like, I just don't want to keep going on. But we know that God is a God of perfection, and all he's trying to do is get us to our destiny. So she was going through this pain, and it was causing conflict in her mind because God is calling us to serve him in love and wholeheartedly, and Satan wants us to neglect that calling. So a fight breaks out in our mind, in the womb, which is the mind. The one thought tugging at the other to do what God wants me to do, or what do I want to do? This is something that we come between ourselves, the two different destinations that God that is appointed for us. Hallelujah. Satan is on the one hand. The Bible says that the older shall serve the younger. Well, first and foremost, the Bible says that we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We was born of the natural man, and then we are born spiritually. So the older nature is the sin nature. But when we are reborn, hallelujah, God has blessed us now that the power that is in us of the Lord Jesus, that's the younger, and now that old nature has to serve the younger nature. We no longer have to be in control of what the enemy would have us to do. And then it goes on and says about how the word of God says that, hallelujah, it is not for man to order his own steps. We should be making sure we're seeking God for the direction that we want to go in. That pain was so deep inside of her that she went and she sought God for what was taking place inside of her because of the pain. And so God revealed to her what was going to take place, that the two nations are inside of you. Hallelujah. One shall be stronger than the other. And so we have to understand that the one who is in us, the Lord, our Savior, he's in us. He is stronger, hallelujah, than any other force there is that would cause us to, hallelujah, walk in deceit, walk in lies, or to try to do things that's not in contrast with his word. So then it goes on and it speaks about her being in the womb. Well, God told her before she gave birth to her sons what was going to take place with them. We can see things in our mind first and foremost, hallelujah, because birth begins at conception. So once we conceive something in our minds, we have to make sure, hallelujah, what we're feeding that. Because if we're feeding that which is the word of God, then that thing will take us to a destination that God will be well pleased because he has set there for us. But if we're feeding that with things that are of the world, then we're going to be going to a destination that's going to lead us to destruction. So we have to keep a focus on what God's purpose is first and foremost. She came to understand that God had a purpose for both of those children. And he told them they're going to be two rival people. They're going to be at each other. Well, we know that the spirit of the enemy always is at the spirit of the Lord that is in us to try to pervert our way of living, to try to get us to do things that's, you know, like I said before, is in contrast to the word of God. But because of him who is greater in us, we have authority over that today. Rebecca, hallelujah, was going to, God told Rebecca what was going to take place with her sons before they were born. So he knew what direction he was taking them in. And the pains Rebecca was experiencing were warning signs. God was warning her. He was letting her know, hey, listen, this is going to be something that's going to take place down the road with your sons. There's nothing that's going to be able to stop this thing. We know that when we're thinking of doing something, God gives us a warning if we're thinking the wrong way, if we're trying to act in the wrong way. He will give us a warning sign. There'll be somebody who he'll send to us. There'll be a scripture he'll give us, or there'll be some actual physical pain that takes place in our body to, you know, for us to take heed to. We have to be open to listen to what God is saying and see the warning signs that he has given us. Because, hallelujah, Rebecca had to go through the birth pains so that the destiny of her children could be fulfilled. We must go through whatever conflict that we're facing today so that, hallelujah, we can reach our destiny. Remember, in order to give birth to something, it must first be conceived. What we feed it with, whether that is of the word of God, which is of the world, will determine its destiny. We have to know what we're conceiving in our hearts, whether it's of God or whether it's of the enemy. Because the Bible says that the heart is a desperately wicked thing. Who can know it? So we have to understand that the enemy would come to deceive us, to keep us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. So this way here, we have to be on guard by meditating on the word of God, studying the word of God, learning the word of God, so that we can, hallelujah, arm ourselves with the mind of our Savior. That way the enemy cannot pull us out of the destiny that God has for us, so that we can maintain, hallelujah, our walk with him. And then it speaks about how when the children, Jacob was pulling at Esau's heel when he was coming out of the womb. Well, we know there are things that be tugging at us. One thought tugging at another, trying to get us to move in a direction that God would not have us to move in. Well, we've got to take that thing to God when we're having things that are coming up on us like that and ask God, okay, God, what's going on? God told Rebecca what was taking place. He will tell us what's taking place. And then he will move that thing out of our way. He'll give us the answer we need so we can let that thing go. We have two destinations to choose from. Following the path of the Lord, which is the way of conquerors, following the path of Satan, which is the way of destruction. If we choose God's word, it will get us to the destiny that we desire. David was a great man for God. He had a great destiny. He had to go through so much before he was set up in the kingdom. After he got set up in the kingdom, he lusted after another man's wife. Being in his destiny, he lusted after somebody else's wife, and it caused a child to be lost. It caused all kind of devastations in his home. His son raped his sister. His other son wanted to take his life. So once we get to our destiny, we have to remember, stay humble. God will keep taking care of us as long as we are in pursuit of him. Our destiny is determined by what decisions we make by the word of God or by our own feelings. Choose to let the word of God be your destiny. Hallelujah. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Spencer, for sharing with us two destinies foretold and remembering that our main topic is fraud and flight, Jacob. The subtopic that we're talking that Pastor Spencer had just shared with you was taken from Genesis, the 25th chapter, 20 through that 23rd verse. And at this time, we're getting ready to welcome other panelists, Pastor Eric Cooper, to Breakthrough Broadcast. And he's going to be speaking from that same topic, two destinies foretold, which is going to
Amen, amen. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Hello, all the panelists as well as the listeners by radio. I'm going to continue where Pastor Spencer continued from. I'll begin reading verse Genesis chapter 25, verses 24 through 28. And it reads, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took a hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob." Amen. And if you're talking about the subtopic is two destinies, and we know that a destiny is something that is to happen or that has to happen at a particular time or to a particular person and or a particular event or a series of events that will lead to an ultimate event. But here we have two individuals, two brothers who have two destinies, two different destinies. There was a struggle involved. And what I'm looking at, what the Lord dealt with me about in this scripture and this story is talked about the parents. Because oftentimes, you know, I just said here that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. And most of the time, parents began to show favoritism because of, you can see here in the scripture how it shows because of the venison for Esau and Isaac. And because, and then it says how Rebekah loved Jacob. And I can just imagine how she loved Jacob because he was one that dwelt amongst the tents, somewhat more of a homebody or more of a mama's boy, so to speak. You know, he kind of dwelt around the house, dwelt within the community. But he said Esau was one that ventured out more. He was probably more aggressive, a hunter. And being a hunter, you have to be aggressive, skilled, as well as, you know, just driven. And we see here how the parents favored the one and then the parents favored the other. And the danger in that is it can create a division in the home because the parent, actually the children, they need both of the parents' love. You know, the children really need to see the love of both parents in action in their lives, because one thing we know that we have a lot of kids out here today who are born out of wedlock, and it may be single-parent homes. You may have the mom raising the child, or you may have the dad or the grandparents raising the child, or maybe one particular grandparent, or even a relative, just some close relative. And what that does is that breaks up the dynamics of the family. And once you have that, you have an opportunity for more dysfunction to come in. And so here we see where it's very vital for both parents here, how they show favoritism. To really speaking to the viewers now, how we need to come together in the home. We need to come together as well as the parents. And even if the mother and dad are not married, or if they're separated, or if they're divorced and they're going on with their lives, still, I want to encourage the mother, in spite of what may happen, or the dad, in spite of what may happen, don't neglect your child because of what may have happened between the two of you all. Because that child needs both of you all's love. He or she needs both of you all's wisdom, your love. They need your concern. They just need you to be there for them whenever they need it. And they just need to see that picture of what a family should be like, even if they're not together. The mother, I want to encourage the mother not to speak ill of the child's dad, and I want to encourage the dad not to speak ill of the child's mother if you have possession of the child. Because there's a scripture that talks about, I think it's Psalms 127, where it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And that word heritage is a Hebrew word. It's called nakala. And the thing about that is it represents property. So God, when God entrusts you with a child, he's entrusting you with some of his property. So like I always tell people when I witness to them or individuals, I tell them that even if you were born out of wedlock, God permitted you to be here. You were here for some purpose, and you are still God's property. You know, you may not be born again yet, but that the decision is yours. But the thing about it, you're still God's property, because the Bible says how God, he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Just like the sun is shining today on the saved people, it is also shining on those who are not saved. So therefore, we are still all under God's supervision. But the thing about it is this, is that we got to begin to cherish what God places in our possession, because everybody can't have kids. You know, we have some people who have been saved for years who are praying just like you have in the story. Just like you had Isaac here, and he was praying for his wife, Rebecca. And so he was praying for almost 20 years. So the thing about it is these people are in the Lord, they're in the covenant with God, but yet they don't, you know, didn't have children, but at a certain time she had children. But we still have some now who are yet born again, and they're living saved, they're doing everything they can do for God, and they're loving on the Lord, and they're just waiting on that moment when God would just bless that womb for that child to be born. And the thing about it is, you know, for you who already have children, it behooves you just to neglect your child, because this generation is a very tough generation that we live in. And there's a scripture that talks about it. I think it's in Matthew 11:16. It says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? This is Jesus talking. He said, it is likened unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling out unto their fellows. And the thing about it is, as you read on in that scripture, the children, the people, what he was saying, the people, they were as hard of hearing. They refused to hear. They were impudent and hard. They were stubborn. They were hard-hearted people. They just refused to hear truth and change. And the thing about it, that's what we have now. So the more that we neglect our children, that gives the devil more opportunity with the influences that they're around out there in the world already to pull them right into that pot, the melting pot of sin, the melting pot of destruction, the melting pot where if they aren't born again, or if they don't come into a saving knowledge of Christ, if the parents aren't putting the things of God, and then what's going to happen is they're going to be headed for that gate that is wide and the way that is broad that will lead them ultimately to their destruction. So as much as possible, we want to take accountability for what God has blessed us with. If you have children and you are not saved or you are not married, still take the time to spend some true minutes with your child, and also speak life into that child's life. Also speak well of that parent that's not in the picture with you, if you so happen to be in that situation, and watch how when that child hears you speak well of that mother or that dad, that's going to begin to cause that child to love and have a desire for that one that's not in the family. Amen. And that would give the devil, and what that would do, that would alleviate the enemy from coming in and placing that child or that individual in a stronghold, and then it would end up having that child to take maybe 5 to 10 to 15 years to get free from unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. We just so bless the Lord for Pastor Spencer, as well as Pastor Hooper, sharing with us the two destinies of these young men's lives. And we as parents, and we as people of this generation, we have a responsibility to build into their lives. We as parents have a responsibility to do the right thing, to say the right thing. Therefore, in order to say the right thing, in order to do the right thing, that our hearts have to align, have to be in alignment with God's word. And we have to see that thing the way that God sees it. Even as God does not have respect a person, we cannot have respect a person, even with our children. We need to be able to love each child within the home of the child that we have given birth, or whether that adopted child, or whatever it may be. We should not show partiality, or we should not show favoritism, because it brings hardship, it brings a division in that family. So we thank God that we look at this, and we began to look at two destinies were told, and we know that God has a plan for all our lives, even as God had a plan for their lives. But yet, we need not to try to change what God has already destined. We not need to change to get in and try to do things our way, because I believe that this is not pleasing unto God. Well, at this time, we just want to take this opportunity to invite you to the Black History Gospel. And that will be held, it is be held on February the 18th, 2012 at 5 p.m. And our guest will be Yolanda Adams. And guess what? The artist that started out the program of the radio broadcast on today, Pastor Sabrina Belton, will be one of the honoraries to open up Yolanda Adams' concert that she's going to be having, which is going to be at Kaiser Revival Center. Now, if you like to purchase a ticket, you can go to Clean Green Man, which is located at 1807-1 West Boynton Street, and the number to call is 904-768-6011. And the other location is the P&L Seafood, and that location is 2151 Lane Avenue South, Suite 204. And the number to call is 904-693-9996. Now, if you buy your ticket before the 18th, I believe it is $45. But if you choose to wait until you get to the door for Yolanda Adams' concert, it will be $55. So if I would advise you, if you'd like to hear the woman of God as she sings, as Pastor Sabrina Belton also, God has opened this door for her and to be able to open up for her, among others, we're looking forward to having an awesome time. So if there's any, if you wanted any information, please be sure to call those locations and be sure to get a ticket for that occasion. Oh, what an awesome time God we're having and what God is doing. We thank God for the great, for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to, again, welcome you to the Breakthrough broadcast today. And our topic is fraud and flight, Jacob. And our subtopic, the first subtopic was two destinies foretold. Now we're getting ready to go into our second subtopic, and it is a blessing gains dishonesty. Oh my God, this is going to be so good. A blessing gains dishonesty. And our first panelist and first speaker would be that Pastor Francina Shanks, and she's going to come, and she's going to bless us. Welcome to Breakthrough Broadcast, Pastor Shanks.
Praise the Lord, Dr. McCoy, and I give God the glory for the great things he has done and will do. I just thank God, and I want to just say greetings to all my brothers and sisters in Christ that are sitting on the panel. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. My topic is taken from Genesis, the 27th chapter, and the 30th through the 45th verse. The key topic verse is a blessing gained dishonestly. As you heard Pastor Cooper, Pastor Andre and Pastor Cooper speak on, I'm going to take it from there. Jacob had already deceived Esau out of his birthright. Esau didn't even really have a concept of what his birthright was all about. The birthright went to the firstborn son according to Jewish custom. And that meant that the firstborn son inherited everything that his father had. It was handed down to him, the authority, all land, all cattle, all monies were given to the firstborn son. But not only that, the firstborn son was the spiritual seed God had ordained for Jesus to come down through that line, the Messiah. In the Hebrew tongue, his name is Yeshua. Glory be to God. And so Esau didn't even have an idea or clue what his birthright was. If he had, he would not have sold it for a bowl of pottage, which was lentils, peas. And then he turned around and here he is. He gives up his blessing. Well, Jacob tricked him out of the blessing. His mother came to him. His mother, Rebecca, was a type of the flesh or a type of Satan, whispering in her ear to get the blessing to Jacob. And so they tricked her husband, Isaac, and she went to Jacob, and she did it herself. Rebecca prepared the meat and everything, and because she knew Isaac had asked Esau to get his arrows and stuff and go to the woods and kill him some venison, which is meat, deer, you know, and she went on and prepared it and had it just like Isaac liked it. And she told Jacob to take it in to his father and pretend that he was Esau. Jacob didn't want to do it. He said, how am I going to get away with this? So she took some skins of hairy goats and put it on his neck and on his arm so he could appear hairy to his father, because Isaac's eyesight had begun to fail and it was dim, so he couldn't see really clear. So Rebecca took advantage of that because she couldn't wait on God's promise to be fulfilled. God already had said that the younger, the older brother would serve the younger brother. And so Jacob was already destined to have the birthright and the blessing. But Rebecca couldn't wait on God. She wanted to give God some help, but she did it with deception. She did it with cunning, craftiness. And Jacob's name means supplanter. That means a person that takes the place by unfair methods or by treacherous means. So Jacob and his mother was very treacherous. They were disloyal. They weren't faithful. That's what the word treacherous means. I mean, they did it with deceit. And so a lot of times, you know, after Isaac ate the venison, the meat, he knew that, well, he felt like it was Esau when he felt his arms and things, and he could smell Jacob, and because Jacob had on some of Esau's clothes. But he said, you feel like Esau. He said, but you sound like Jacob. So he was right on that point. But when Esau came in and saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, he was so angry, and he asked his father to bless him too, but it was too late. He didn't receive the blessing that was intended for him because his brother had deceived their father and took the blessing from him. And, you know, a lot of times that happens. Even in the body of Christ, you can be around certain people and they see the destiny or the purpose, God's purpose that he has for your life, and they can move in different areas, move by deception from Satan to keep you from getting it. But what God has for you is for you. So even though you might miss it at that time, God will cause you to recover. So we have to be patient, and even like Pastor Andre and Cooper was talking about the division it caused in the family, because after Jacob stole his brother's blessing also, it caused him to want to murder his brother. And Rebecca heard that, so she had to get Jacob away from there. And so you see what that can cause. That can cause when you show respect of one child, you know, amongst each other. That causes a rivalry and discord in your home. That causes jealousy to come in when brothers or sisters, when you might favor one child over the other. But if you give your life to the Lord, to Jesus Christ, he will cause you to love your children the same, because he has no respect of persons. And I want to say to the men and women of God out there, like Pastor Cooper had addressed when he spoke, the Bible says train your child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That is so true. I'm a living witness that if you train your child up in the way they should go, they might leave, but they'll come back. Some of them. Some of them never leave the Lord. Some of them will. But you just patiently wait on the Lord, keep his way, continue to pray for that child or those children, continue to stand in the gap for them. And the Lord told me that with my children, he said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. Sometimes we can take those children to church, and at a young age, some parents can be real forceful. It could cause them to not want to know God. But like the Lord told me, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. We have to learn how to love our children unconditionally. And the Lord has had me to tell that to many women of God. Love your children unconditionally. Don't preach at them, but be an example, like the Lord has did for us. Just love them no matter what they're doing. And you will see by that, you will draw them back to the Lord. They'll come back. Or if they didn't know Lord at that time, if they didn't get saved, they will want to know him, because they'll see the love of God in you that's going out to them. And I agree with what Pastor Cooper said, like I did with my children. I always told them to love their father, to not hold anything against him, even though he and I were separated. Because at that time, I had became saved. I began to know the Lord. He began to teach me his ways. So you have to put that in your children. Let them know, love your father. That's your father. That's your dad. Love him. No matter what has taken place in the home or between you and him. And just love your children. Bless them, too. Speak blessings over their lives. Say what the word says. If God said he's going to save your household, you got to believe that. You got to stand on that. And you can't be like Rebecca was. She couldn't wait. So what she did with trickery, she caused her son, Jacob, to steal the blessing or take the blessing that was intended for Esau. And then Jacob had already tricked Esau out of the birthright. So this is what happens when there is division in the home. Because, see, Isaac loved Esau because Esau was a hunter. And he loved the venison that he caught. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And the Bible says Jacob was a plain man, and he lived in the tents. He was just a plain man. But so Rebekah had heard what God had said, that Jacob was going to inherit, but she couldn't wait. You have to learn to wait on the Lord. You can't hurry God. And a lot of you out there, men and women of God, you have been told what your sons and daughters are going to be and what they're going to do. So you have to wait and see God move. You can't hurry. You just got to love. You know, God may have told you that your son is going to go to the world and preach. He's going to be an evangelist, or he's going to be a pastor, or he has a prophet calling on his life, as well as a daughter. And so you have to wait and let God fulfill that what he's told you. You can't get in the way of it. You have to patiently wait on the Lord. And I just want to say to the people out there that don't know the Lord, that are unsaved, that are listening to this broadcast, there is nothing that you have done that God would not forgive you of. Many of you out there have been just like Jacob, a deceiver, you know. And so anyway, even though Jacob did that, he had to go through some things, because the Bible says you reap what you sow. So Jacob had to go through some things until he came into a knowledge of who God is and was. And so many of you out there, you might not have been like Jacob. You might have been a person that never stole, never lied. But the Bible says all have sinned. You might not have been a prostitute. You might have not been a person that embezzled money. You might not have been a murderer. But you still got to come to the foot of the cross, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I want to say to my brothers and sisters in Christ that know the Lord, just wait on the Lord and keep his way. And in due season, he will exalt you, and he will bring your children in. You have been praying, some of you mothers and fathers, for a long time for your sons and daughters to be saved. Just remember what the Lord said in the Word. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. They will come back, and some of them, because you planted that seed, and just love them unconditionally. And to those that don't know the Lord, you might have not done anything like murdering or killing, but Jesus loves you. You still got to come to the foot of the cross. You might be a rich person. They have a whole lot of money, but you don't have any peace. Jesus loves you. You might be a person that have did things wrong, committed murder or whatever, drug dealer or whatever, but Jesus loves you. You got to come to the foot of the cross. For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And you see, going back to Jacob, Jacob was of the spiritual seed for Jesus, the Messiah, to come down through that line, praise God. And it ended and came all the way down to Joseph, the carpenter. What a blessing. So Jacob, at the time, didn't even know, didn't even have a clue. Esau didn't even have a clue of the spirit to see how God had orchestrated or how God had planned and put everything into order. And so at this, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy, and I just give God the glory.
We thank the Lord, praise God, in the name of Jesus, for Pastor Francina Shanks for sharing with us about a blessing gained dishonestly. And there's so much that we can say about a blessing gained dishonestly. And we're going to go into that second phase, that second part of it, of the blessing gained dishonestly. And that verse is taken from the 38th to the 45th verse. And at this time, we would like to welcome Ms. Helen Watson to Praise Report to Breakthrough Broadcast. Welcome, Ms. Watson.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. And I'm just going to expound on what Pastor Shanks was talking about. It's called the blessing gained dishonestly, and that is coming from Genesis 27, chapter 38 through the 45th verse. And it says, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of the heaven from above. And by the sword shall thou live, and shall thou serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have a dominion, that thou shalt break the yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And those words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doeth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and rise, flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. And then I will send and fetch thee from him. Why should I be deprived also of both in one day?" And here we see, after Isaac had blessed his son, blessed Jacob, that Esau was furious. He was furious with his brother. We see here, again, his mother gets involved. Again, we see here where he said he did not have another blessing. He was just furious because he had given his blessing. His brother had deceived his father and taken his blessing. He had already sold him his birthright. And then again, he said, he has tricked me again. Now he's taken my blessing. So when he went into his father, and his father told him this, and he told him, you know, I only have one blessing. I don't have any more to give. This is it. And you should you're gonna serve your brother. Now over in chapter where Pastor Hooper and Pastor Spencer was reading, God had already told Rebecca that the older son would serve the younger son. She got in a hurry and got put her hands on God's business. She wanted, because she loved Jacob so, that she wanted him to have blessings. She wanted him to, she got in God's business, and she did it her own way. And sometimes we can get in God's way. We can start doing things our own way. Even though God has told us what is going to happen, he has given us a promise. He has said what he said, that he cannot lie because he's God. We don't believe and depend on him. We want to do things our own way. That makes it hard for us. We have to do it all over again. We don't pass the test. We have to go through it all again because we put our hands on God's business. And this is what she did between her sons. She put conflict there. She put strife between them that really shouldn't have been. God had already told her what was going to happen before they even were born into the earth. He told her what was going to go on. And when we get blessings dishonestly, when we gain blessings dishonestly, when we don't do it God's way, we know we lose those blessings most of the time. Over in Acts, in chapter 5, we see where Ananias and his wife, what happened to them? They died trying to hold back money. God sees everything. He knows everything. And when Peter asks, why do you let Satan just talk to you like that or come in here and you want to just tell a lie? And that took their life. Their life was taken. And here we see almost Jacob's life was taken because Esau was just that angry to him. He said he was going to lay hold and he was going to kill him. So we see when we do God's business and we take God's business in our own hands, it doesn't turn out right. We always make a mess of things. And here the mother certainly made a mess of things by having she loved one more than the other. So she wanted him to have everything. She wanted him to be blessed. She wanted him to have the blessing. She wanted him to just rule over his brother, which was going to happen anyway, because God told her that. And she did not, evidently, she did not believe it, so she took matters into her own hands. And like I said, when we do that, we mess up. God has a plan. He has a purpose for everything that he does. And when we get in God's way, when we do things our own way, we always mess it up. It doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to. It takes longer for that blessing and for that promise to come to pass, to come to fruition, because we've gotten in God's way. We've done it our own way. We didn't let God do it. God is God all by himself. He does not need us to put our hands. He does not need our help. So when he tells us something, like he told her that the older son was serving the younger son, she just could have laid back and believed what God said, not because Esau came out first. She's thinking, oh, my God, you know, here's the oldest son. Jacob was the second son. So she's going to take it and do it her own way, not knowing God is in control of everything that we do. Whenever he says it, it is so anyway, even if we want to believe it or not. And when we get in his way, we make a mess of everything. He wants us to lean and depend on him. She doesn't know how God was going to do that thing. She didn't know, but she didn't wait. She just wanted Esau to be blessed because Jacob to be blessed because that was her favorite. And when we do things like that, we cause strife in our home life. We cause strife between our kids. Sometimes we cause strife between husbands and wives and whatever. Our household is a mess. And her household was a mess because of her meddling in God's business, touching God's business, doing some things she did not have to do, being deceitful and trying to deceive. She deceived her husband. And that way she put her boys against each other, and one wanted to kill the other. And that is not how God would have us to live. When he says something, he means it, and we should keep our hands off of it. We should teach our children how to lean and depend on God. When God tells you something, when God tells you, it is for real. God does not need our help with anything like we think he does. He really doesn't. And stop second-guessing God. He wants us to do exactly what he says. If he said it, it is true. So that's what I was getting out of that when I was reading the story and that part, when I was reading that part, that's what I was getting out of. She just started confusion and strife within her whole. She upset the whole apple cart. She upset everybody. Even the father, as he lay there, he was just distraught. You know, I've given your blessing away. He tricked me. His son went in and he tricked me. Him and his mother tricked him. And that is not how God wants us to be. we've always, she took things, matters in her own hands, and she messed up her whole household. She had her whole household in an uproar for really no reason at all, because God had already told her what was going to happen. So he wants us to lean and depend on him and stop messing with his business. When we put our hands on God's business, you know, that just causes a hole. We just bring all kinds of curses on our lives. We bring all kinds of things on our lives that we shouldn't really even have to deal with because we're disobedient. And when we are disobedient, that always comes with consequences, always come with consequences. And we're not going to like them in the long run. So what, today I'm just saying, when God tells us something, when it is so, just leave it there. He wants us to lean and depend on him and trust him. Just because those boys came out the way they were, the firstborn, well, Esau came out first, then there was Jacob. There was no reason for her to go meddling into God's business. She heard her husband say, she heard Isaac say he was going to eat and then he was going to bless him. And then she got in a hurry. She let the devil fool her, got in a hurry, and she deceived him. And that just caused her boys to want to just come at each other and just, Esau wanted to destroy Jacob for doing that. And then Jacob had to leave his home. He had to flee from his home. He couldn't even stay there anymore because his brother was going to kill him. So when we need to just leave God's business alone, leave it to him. He's God all by himself. He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. He had a purpose and a plan for Esau and Jacob, and the devil just got in a hurry. So we need to understand. We need to hear. We just need to leave it in God's hands. Whatever he says, it is so anyhow. And we just need to believe and depend on him and stop putting our hands to his business. We will surely mess it up. If it's his business, he said it, let him have it. Just give it to God. And that's what I got out of that, Dr. McCoy. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Watson, for sharing lesson gained dishonestly. And there is something, when we look at a person that is dishonest, you know, that when we can see, even in our daily walk, over people that we connect with, or people that we see, or people on our jobs, it brings a disconnection in that area when we see and know that people are dishonest. But when you think about a family that's supposed to be loving and kind, a family that's supposed to have so much love for one another, you think, why and when is it and where was it they got to that point that it got so dysfunctional that they had to be deceitful with one another, and where fraud came in, where that trickery came in, where they began to perfetrate, and where they wanted to profit for their own gain. There wasn't walking in love, the love that it should have, of like one for another, and they just gave that all up because of the fact that they were not in the right mindset. Truly, when you think of Rebecca, you should, parents, think about what she did. A lot of things that happened, we should use that as an example that we will not have to go through the same old, same old. It tells us, it shows us what she did to bring division in her home. So, the Bible says, know, how can two walk together except they're in agreement? So we need to let God give us what we need. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. We know the plan of God. We should not try to override the plan of God. We should not try to change things as Abraham. When I began to think of that, and many times it comes to my mind, how Abraham and Sarah, how they tried to take things into their own hands. But God has already said what he was going to do and how they were going to have that child. And so it was, even when God had sent the prophet Samuel to anoint a king, God had already had decided who was going to be king. And, you know, I think about how sometimes we look at the people and we look at people, we try to size them up, how tall they are, you know, with the broad shoulders and whether they are, what a complexion they may be, or who we want to be this and who we want to be that. And we completely overlook the plan of God because we're trying to do it our way. The people were satisfied when they got Saul, and Saul, because of the fact, you know, they turned Saul, they wanted Saul because of his stature and because of the way he looked, but yet he turned out to be working against the plan of God. And when God sent David, sent the prophet, to anoint the king instead of Saul, even the father, you know, he brought the tall sons, he brought the elders out, and he thought that this should be it. Even the prophet thought, oh, well, this person should be the king. But that was not God's plan. And we need to seek the face of God, and we need to know the plan of God, what God planned, not what our plan. We should not bring division in the home. Rebecca was completely out of the will of the Father. She was completely out of the will of the Father. A mother should love both children, as I said before, equally the same. Because when you have favor, you have a favorite child, a favorite daughter, that it's going to bring about the confusion in that home. It's going to bring about a disconnection in that home. It's going to bring about strife. And even as it got to the point that these young men, that one had to flee because of the other was going to kill him. That was so much in his heart, and that should have never happened. So sometimes, as we go through the Word of God at different times, we need to apply every day. We need to apply the Word of God to our lives so that we won't be transgressing against the plan of God. That was so awesome. We thank God for the topic that we've had so far. The two destinies were told. A blessing gained. Dishonor. Who want a blessing when you got it dishonestly? You should never want a blessing when you got it dishonestly. God don't want us to have anything. Now, I remember when we, one of the things that we said at the beginning of our study, and it says over in Proverbs, in the book Proverbs 20:17, it said, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. And the second of the NIV said, food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouth full of gravel. And that's the trick of the enemy. He makes everything look tempting. He makes everything look like it's the right thing to do, or the right thing to say, or the right thing to have. But we need, the Bible said, in all our ways acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So we're getting ready. I know that you must be enjoying this discussion today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. And we're getting ready to go to our third subtopic, which is running from sin's consequences. And we're getting ready to welcome evangelists Jardeen Spencer to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Welcome, Evangelist Spencer.
Praise the Lord to Dr. McCoy. Praise the Lord to the panelists. Amen. And I'm going to be reading from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. And this is what it says. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder sat up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thy shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be God's house. And of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. And the topic here is running from sin's consequences. Here, in other words, Jacob, amen, came to a place where he had to realize, in other words, what he had done and the sin that he had, in other words, done, that it was revealed to him, and he had to reflect upon it. In other words, and I saw in also here, in other words, a repentance taking place, in other words, and then God spoke to him and gave him a dream and showed him that he is going to be with him. And in this process, God also was developing a personal relationship with him, what he was doing with Jacob. And everyone has to develop a personal relationship with God. In other words, I can't go on the relationship that my mom or my father had with God. I have to, in other words, go on there and build my own relationship with God, because we each are going to go through different tests and trials, and God knows what test that he has to give us, in other words, to develop our relationship with him. And the word of God also tells us that, you know, no matter what you sow, you're going to reap what you sow. And here, you know, Jacob, you know, realized that, in other words, you know, what he had did and the, how he had walked in deception, in other words, and only thing he had to do was just reflect on what was said and what God had promised him. And sometimes, you know, we get in a hurry and we don't think God is moving fast enough, that we want to take things into our own hand instead of just stopping and meditating on what God has promised and what he has spoken to us. Because a lot of times I have found out that when God calls you to do something, or when God speaks over your life who you are for him and what he's going to do, he's letting you know that, in other words, that's a promise. But if we would meditate on what God is saying to us and the promises that he's saying to us, that when we get into a place where we are being tempted, we can think back on what God promised us, and that we won't have to, in other words, yield to that temptation, but we will stand on the word of God. And in that standing on the word of God, we are building integrity with the Lord. We are building confidence with the Lord. And we're standing on our personal relationship and what he spoke to me. And, you know, in the latter here, it signifies in the dream, it signified to Jacob that that was the way to God, and it was open. That God also
would provide a means of access and an open door to fellowship and communion, and that God would hear his prayers and give him help. And here it also represents, in other words, the how, in other words, his abiding promise, and how, in other words, after Jacob saw and realized and began to meditate and think on what God had promised him, he made a vow to give, amen, a tenth unto the Lord. And how, in other words, he realized that God, you know, was in this place and he didn't even know it. And how sometimes we can even be in a place like that where we're thinking, we're looking at, we're seeing with our eyes and not, in other words, seeing with our spirit, but we're seeing with our eyes and we're thinking, well, you know, surely the Lord is not, you know, here or not in this situation or circumstances. And here Jacob, he said, you know, he didn't even know. He said, I didn't even know that he was even here. And sometimes we don't recognize that God is with us. But, you know, I look and I see the example of how God is letting us know that if we just, in other words, continue to see him, remember the promises that he has given unto us, that what he wants to do for us, because he knows the plan that he has for us. He knew our, he knows our purpose. He knew the way we're going to go before we was even a twinkling in our, you know, mother's eye or even in our, the mother's womb. He knew us before we was placed in our mother's womb. And all of a sudden I look at how running from sin and the consequences that even in the beginning, you know, he had spoken to Adam and told him what tree not to eat of and everything. And after, you know, the woman was made and ate of the serpent talked during to eating of the tree, and she gave it to her husband and ate, and then their eyes were open, and they realized how, in other words, they were naked, and they sewed, you know, fig leaves together and hid themselves when they heard the voice of God in the garden. And God even asked them that, you know, in other words, who told you? You know, so God does give us a chance, even though he knows already, he gives us a chance to come clean and to confess and our sins and to confess, in other words, our disobedience. And I give God praise because he is a forgiving God and he is a loving God. And it's about, in other words, being real because he already knows. Amen. And so I just look at how Jacob realized what he had did and how, in other words, he wanted to come clean and that he recognized that there was consequences, you know, for the sin and what he had done. So, you know, the Lord is saying to us today, to, you know, to the saved and to the unsaved, that, you know, no matter, you know, what you're doing, you know, God sees and God knows all. And that when we are messing or doing sin, that there are consequences that we are going to have to go through, and that we're going to have to walk out and repent and come back unto him. And so the Lord is just letting us know that we will reap that what we sow. Amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Amen. Thank you very much, Evangelist Spencer, for sharing with us running from sin consequences. At this time, we're going to Pastor Lapkin, and we would like to take this opportunity to welcome him to the Breakthrough Broadcast. He has, he's going to be speaking from Genesis, the 28th chapter, 16 through the 22nd verse. Welcome, Pastor Lapkin, to the Breakthrough Broadcast. So happy to have you with us today.
Praise God, Dr. McCoy. Thank you for the opportunity to share with God's people. God bless you to all the panel, believers in Christ Jesus, and the Breakthrough Broadcast. And speaking on the topic, running from sin's consequences, on Genesis 28, 16 through 22, just look at that 16, 17 verse. And Jacob awake out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? That is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven, or the gate of heaven. And it seems at times when we, as believers, become professionals in the ministries of health, trying to help God fulfill his purpose, when he clearly instructs us not to do certain things, but you know how we are as believers. We think we know more than God, so we partake in that ministry of helps. And sometimes it's quite alluring, because when God speaks to us such promises, such things that he ordained for us to have, it's quite easy for us to concentrate solely on the benefits. Now, I understand that when he placed something in our life or reveals that promise, we should understand that promise has a spiritual matter. It has a spiritual weight to it. And the things that come with the promise are solely the benefits. You know how it is when God shows you that he's going to bless you with that ministry and bless you with that home, bless you with that family, bless you with that marriage, bless you with that children. And many times we simply run after the benefits, not really understanding that these things are the benefits, and the benefits come with the package of being a believer. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread. The Bible says, look at those lilies that were in the field. They didn't spin, they didn't toil, but Solomon was never arrayed as one of those lilies. Look at those sparrows. They don't sow, they don't reap, but nonetheless, the Heavenly Father feeds them every day. These things that many of the believers run out of are just simply the benefits, and the benefits, once again, come with the package of the promise. But just like God, it shows us that his grace and his mercy can cover us no matter where we lie or what mistake that we make. Many times we have believers that are walking in the promise, that are walking in ministry, and sometimes they fall, and many times they don't have enough faith to believe that God would deliver them out of their sins. Even those that pray the prayer of faith and the prayer of salvation for many and bringing a large number into Christ believe that God can save them. But I remember a minister, his name was Minister Harney, and him and his wife was preaching on one Friday afternoon, and I heard him say that, I heard him say this in his message, and it sticks with me just like yesterday. He said, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that the blood of Christ can cover you? Who do you think you are that the blood of Christ cannot cover you? And it plays to mind in the 16th and 17th verse. Many times we sin and we feel like that we're away from God. We feel like we are as far as the east is from the west. We feel like that we can't turn our face towards his holy temple. We feel like that he's forgot about us, he's gonna wash us off, and he's gonna throw us away. When we labor or condemn people, we fall under our own condemnation. And many times this is grace and mercy. We have to remember, who do we think we are that God's grace, that his blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, every stripe that he took, the crowns of thorns, when they plucked out his beards, that blood was for us. Because he knows that we are human. We are not divine. So when we look at the dysfunctional family, it's not so much as dysfunction. I like to look at it in a way that it's human nature. Because you've seen Abram going into Egypt, going into the land of Palestine, to Abimelech, saying that Sarah was his sister. You see Isaac doing the same thing in this land of in the Palestine. My wife is my sister. You know, you see Jacob in his folly. And you see all through the Bible, Sarah laughing. You see the human nature when it comes up to God's promise. We do not line up. We do not measure up. We do not have enough faith, charisma, whatever it is, to obtain from God. It's simply a gift. Now, we need to understand that because we have faith, that our faith can cause the promise to be tangible. Many times when God gives us a promise, it's simply for us to walk that line and let him do the work. We should be like a remote control car. You ever seen kids playing remote control cars? Let God be the one that's operating you. And that power source is faith. When we're connected to God, we can set our feet into his testimony. We can walk on the king's highway and not worry about wavering to the left or wavering to the right. Are we going to understand everything God tells us to do? No, we're not. Sometimes we have to be simply bold enough and just have enough faith that says, I'm just going to do what he says. I don't understand it. I'm just simply following his leading, and I'm following his direction. And many times we think we make mistakes, and sometimes the mistakes that we make are God ordained. Sometimes it's God ordained. It's God's will. Sometimes I'm not saying that we fall into sin, and the Bible says, shall we sin that grace may abound? The Bible says, God forbid. I'm not saying that we should frustrate the grace of God. I'm saying that sometimes we make simple mistakes that's in the will of God to show for us to see who we really are, that we're dependent on him. Sometimes in this Christian walk, God, whatever level that we're going to go to or whatever level that we're going to matriculate in, it's simply that God's going to allow things to come on us to show us that we don't measure up and that we need to be dependent on him. If we operate on a certain level, it's only because he prepares us. And sooner or later, he's going to call us to matriculate, to rise, to go to another faith and to another realm of glory. We need to realize that we have a treasure in our earthen vessels. And many times that we go through, we need to realize that we got something in us that's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. We got something inside of us. This man had a promise. He inherited the promise of Father Abraham. And that promise was that he was going to have seed as many as the stars of the sky. If you can number the stars of the sky, you have to keep counting for his seed. As much as the sand is on the seashore, he was going to be blessed with his seed. And as the evangelist mentioned, that God had a greater plan than just giving him the land of his enemies, make his enemies his footstool. But the Bible says that all nations would be blessed by Abraham. And that was a promise of the Messiah. Not that someone that's going to turn two fish and five loaves of bread, something a multitude, but going to meet the spiritual needs. God, his plan was for us to be whole spiritually. Ever since the fall of man, ever since that knowledge of good and evil was found in the meat of a fruit, and mankind partake of it against God's will, this scheme was designed to bring mankind back into God's fellowship. And it shows us, even in the divine plan of God, that we have a way of messing things up. Because God allows us to be free moral agents. Like I said, for those of us that are blessed like myself to be in that ministry of help, that we try to help God help us, and we just mess things up. But it's just like God, that he's so divine to orchestrate things, that even though these things can fall into place when we put our foot in our mouth, when we say things. Now, I'm going to say this. To break off this running from the sin's consequences, that we should pray as believers, because as believers, Bible told us, Bible believed it, water walking disciples. We have consequences to our sins, but sometimes our sins, the things that we do, affect people in a negative way. We tear up homes. We tear people down. We do things, and we should pray. We should fast. God, not just forgive my debts, but everybody that I offend, and the situation that I've been in, that I've messed some people up, God, I pray that you go behind me and fix those things. We need to be like that as believers, because we're real good and Christian in these days to say, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgave me. Oh, God forgave me of my sins. But we have done some damage. We've done some damage as believers. There are the consequences to our sin, yes. We mess up things, but there are some people that we mess over as believers. And they can look at us, not, as the Bible says, there's some people that it's easier to win a city than win somebody that you offend. So therefore, we need to be conscious of praying and of our spiritual walk, that we not so easy to fall into sin or fall into temptation, that we don't hurt other believers or someone that's leaning towards Christ. We don't want to be like Peter. But Peter, when Jesus was saying, hey, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but God revealed this to you, Jesus, and Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Jesus simply told him, said, hey, I rebuke you, Satan, because you save and not things of God. Sometimes we can do some spiritual things, we can bless some things of God, but it's not what God ordained for us to do at that time. So we have to be mindful of where God is leading us, and we have to have sometimes we have to have some blind obedience. We have to have blind obedience. Just walk in his will, walk in his way, go where he leads us, go where he guides us, even though we don't understand it. Our friends may not agree with it. The people that we love the most, our prayer partners, the people that we took Holy Communion with may not understand it, but it is better for us to obey God and not let our people understand us than offend God and not obey Him. So we should obey God. And as I say again, as I leave, just one more thing about running from sin's consequences. James 5:16 says that we should confess our faults one to another, and that we should pray for one another as believers, that we may be healed. And the end of that verse, it says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, they availeth much. We need to find a place, an altar that's safe, where we can confess our faults. We should be bold enough. We should be strong enough to confess our faults. And then going back to those benefits, just the promise that God has given us, it ain't just for our earthly gain. The Bible tells us, Romans 4, in the 14th chapter, it says that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our promise has spiritual matters. And the things that we reap on this earth that we partake in are just simply the benefits. So let's not get wrapped up in the benefits or run after the benefits. That's why we all operate in those ministries of helps, trying to help God help us, because we're running after the benefits. Let's back this thing up. These things have spiritual matters. The blessings that we're going to get, are we going to receive from Him? It's to further the kingdom of God, to bless your family, to set your family up. Wise man going to leave an inheritance for his children's children. Not for us just to pray and reap these things upon ourselves. These things have spiritual matters. These are spiritual promises. And as I go, as I said, remember James 5:16 and Numbers 23:18 for our believers like myself, they're always trying to help God, that God is not a man that he should lie. If he spoke a promise in your life, he's the son of man. God's not a man that he should lie. Not he's the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? If he's going to do it, has he not spoken? Then shall he bring it to pass? He's going to make it good. So remember, God don't need our help. God don't need our defending. God only needs one thing from us, our obedience. Praise God, saints. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for sharing with us, Pastor Lampkin. Oh, God, how good God is. Oh, how good God is, how He has blessed us with our panelists today as they gave great insight, great revelation as to what God is doing and how God is moving in their heart and how the revelation that God has given them for this study today. The study was fraud and flight from Jacob. And again, our study text was taken from Genesis, the 25th chapter. We want you to just take the opportunity to bless the Lord, the opportunity to give God all that you have. And if there are any of the things that we talk about today that you see not only in somebody else's life, but in your life, if you're guilty of these things, we want you to just give them over to God, to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart and save you. Because it's not what we have, it's how we receive it. Was it from God? Was this God's will for my life? Did you swallow your way into it? Did you use trickery? Did you use deceit? Did you use try to get gain, the profit, to get you into the place where you want it to be? So it's so many things that we could think about today. But even in that, we're going to take this opportunity to pray. And if you see yourself in any of those things, we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you for your sins. And we want you to take it personally because the only way you can take it, not for someone else, but we wanted you to take it personally for yourself. And then if you are a person that have maybe a backslider, or you have backslided on Christ, or you have not made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to take this opportunity today on Breakthrough to pray for you. Because, you know, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour when He's coming. The Word of God says He's come like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's kind of what happened today. And we need
Christ in our life. We need to have that relationship with him. So we're going to go to Evangelist Spencer, and we're going to ask her to give the invitation today. And then we're going to ask Pastor Andre Spencer to close, to give to go ahead and pray for the souls that is not saved, for those that want to be saved, those that have backslided on Christ, those that have found themselves in a situation of deceit and trickery, trying to make their own way, whatever it may be. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. So we're going to give the opportunity to Evangelist Spencer come and make that invitation known to you, our radio audience. And then we're going to go to Pastor Andre Spencer. And we're just going to let God use him to pray for you today. Evangelist Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And I just like to extend an invitation to those of you that are listening that it doesn't matter what you have done, what you have said, or who you have hurt, but the door is open right now for you to, in other words, to confess to the Lord your faults, to confess to the Lord your sins, and ask God to cleanse you and to forgive you of your sins. And it doesn't matter, because he is a forgiving God, because if you will confess, he will cleanse you. And, you know, the word of God, he says that, you know, in other words, confess your sins and, you know, repent and let him, because he's standing at the door and he's knocking. So we're asking you to prepare yourself to open up your heart, to ask the Lord to come in, to sup with you and to lead you and to guide you and to show you, hallelujah, what is your purpose in the kingdom, you know, and, you know, to love those that, you know, have, in other words, maybe talked about you or done you wrong. But God is the one that can heal you. He is the one that can deliver you. So it's unto him that you come, that you're giving your total to him. And if you don't know how to do it, my husband come forth, Pastor Andre come forth, that in other words, you just pray the prayer along with him. But in other words, just get your mind and get your heart open and ready to receive that which is of the Lord. Amen.
And hallelujah, just stretch your voice out unto the Lord. And hallelujah, Father God, we come before you, and Father God, we ask you to look upon us and to forgive us, O Lord, for anything that we have said, done, or thought that is sinned against you. Lord, when I cry unto you, hear my prayer. For Father, I am at the brink of destruction, and I need your help. There is nothing that I can do apart from you, for you are everything, and I need everything that you have. Lord, touch our hearts. Bring us to you, that we will leave ourselves and serve you according to your word, that we become living sacrifices for you. Touch each and every heart today, Father God, who has the desire to turn away from what they're doing, to live the way that you desire for them to live. Lord, touch us deeply, Father God, that we have been wounded, that you will heal us, Father God, that we will receive that which you have in store. So I pray, Father God, hallelujah, for those who are listening, that they'll, Father God, just get on their knees, and they'll surrender all things unto you today, that you will be Lord over their life, henceforth and forevermore. So I pray, Father God, that every heart that is listening will surrender so that you can have your perfect will done in their lives. Cry out to God, whatever the circumstance or situation is, and let God take control. Move self so that he can have his way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for making Breakthrough Broadcast your station for
this day for tuning in with us at 4 o'clock into this present time, why don't you just take the opportunity, go a little further, and get your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers, and let them know what God is doing here on the Breakthrough Broadcast. We've been receiving some great reports, some really good reports of the listening audience that we have. And to God be the glory for the great, for the mighty things that he has done and he is doing. But we want to reach out even further. We want more souls to be saved, more lives to be changed. We want to bring clarity to the millions of people. So we want to take this opportunity to thank all of our guests for today. We'd like to thank Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Cooper, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, Pastor Francina Shanks, Pastor Andre Spencer, and Pastor Carlos Lampkin for being our guests here today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. Until then, we want to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise as God, as we lift up his name daily in our lives. Until next Saturday at 4 p.m., come on and let's give God.